All right, so tonight's topic, discussing Gomel Chasadim Tovim. And I mentioned at the tail end of last week, very basic question here that sticks out. The word Gomel Chasadim Tovim means, we'll talk about what Gomel means also, but let's translate it loosely now, that he bestows good chasadim. He bestows good kindnesses. So I want to try and understand exactly what it means. What's a good kindness? What's a bad kindness? What is good chesed? What's bad chesed? So the word chesed, and we discussed this when we were discussing the introduction of the bracha and discussing the midah of Avraham Avinu. The word chesed really means unrestrained giving without considering if the recipient is deserving or not. Chesed is just the koach of being mashpia, of bestowing, of being a source that flows out to others without discriminating whether or not the recipient really deserves what they're being given. Chesed is, by definition, if you're getting what you deserve, that's not chesed. Chesed is giving without discerning if the recipient is deserving or not. And this concept is not intrinsically good. In fact, the Torah, Rav Dessler points this out, the Torah describing the forbidden relationship that a person could have with their sister, the Torah says, chesed. Don't do this. Chesed hu, right? That this is, an act of giving, but it's indiscriminate. It's without considering what's good for the recipient. The act of cohabitation is the paradigm of a giver and a receiver, of a mashpia and a makabel. The act of relations is the archetype act of chesed. But that doesn't mean that it cannot be corrupted and it can't be detrimental. And therefore, the arayos can be referred to as chesed, but it's still in iser kares. But it's chesed, because chesed does not necessarily mean a good thing. Chesed just means the act of giving to another. The fact that you're not discerning whether or not the recipient is deserving or not, that's not intrinsically a bad thing. But that you're not discerning whether it's to the benefit of the recipient to be the receiver, whether this act in its totality is a positive act, that is where chesed can be something detrimental. Very simple mashal. If you imagine a father who wants to be incredibly kind to his child, so his child really hates his math homework, he would much rather play soccer, so every day the kid comes home with his math homework, and his father does his math homework for him. Incredible act of chesed, of kindness. He's exempting his son from all of his tedious math work in order that he could go have fun. Comes the final exam, and the son fails. So it was a very nice act of chesed, but it was an incredible disservice to the child. The fact chesed does not, by definition, mean that something is going to be good. And even chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is not without limits, without being defined and directed to its proper place, would not necessarily be for the best. Rabbeinu Peretz, one of the early Rishonim, in his Sefer Ma'areches HaElokos, he explains that it was very important that Yitzchak went a different direction in his focus of Avodas Hashem than his father Avraham. Avraham had his focus in his relationship with Hashem in the Midah of Chesed, and he worked on the Midah of Chesed. And through Avraham's Midah of Chesed, there's a Midah Keneged Midah of how Hashem deals with the world, and Avraham brought down into the world a certain Midah of Hashem, of Chesed, of how Hashem deals with the world. And says Rabbeinu Peretz, that had Yitzchak followed in the path of Avraham Avinu and worked further on the Midah of Chesed, that the resulting Midah Keneged Midah, the resulting reaction response of Hashem's Chesed, would have unbalanced the scales of justice, it would have nullified the existence of din and of retribution, and reduced the opportunity for Avodas Hashem. It would have reduced the makom, the context of bechira, of having an opportunity for a meaningful Avodas Hashem, if everything would have been an overwhelming abundance of chesed, and it would have mitigated the accomplishment of the purpose for which the world is created. So even the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch himself was not is not inherently without limits and inherently always constructive thing. That's the name that we say, Shin Dalad Yud Shakai Sha'amar La'olamo Dai, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when creating the world, at a certain point had to say, stop, that's enough. Kadosh Baruch Hu went on, there was a certain point of the energy of creation that was this much and that's it. But the unlimited chesed is not, by definition, a positive thing. We find this idea there, this representation of the psoles of the, we mentioned this already, but just to go a little bit deeper into it, that this idea of the psoles of the waste material of the negative side of chesed, we find in Yishmael. Avram Avinu had the midah of chesed. The psoles of Avram's midah of chesed was refined through Yishmael. Yishmael was the one who took the negative part of the midah of chesed and he sent out of Klal Yisrael. And that's the way in which the midah of chesed is refined as it continues in Klal Yisrael. Yishmael is the one who represents, who manifests the psoles of the midah of chesed. Yishmael is associated with arayos, with forbidden relationships. It's no coincidence that the descendants of Yishmael believe in a world to come that consists of 70 virgins. The Gemara in Kiddushin, if I recall correctly, on Daf Mem Tes, somewhere around there, the Gemara there is going through a list of, there were 10 measures of such and such that came to the world, 9 went to one thing, and the rest of the world says there are 10 measures of beauty that came to the world, 9 went to Yerushalayim, and the rest of the world got one. There were 10 measures of conversation that went to the world, 9 went to women, and the rest of the world got one. One of the things it says is that there were ten kavim, there were 10 measures of znus, of licentiousness that came to the world. 9 went to Aravia, which is the descendants of Yishmael, and the rest of the world shared the rest. There is a concentration of this midah of znus, of this midah of arayos, in Yishmael because of that very same reason, because it is the psoles of the midah of chesed. The midah of chesed misdirected into a destructive direction. That was what Yishmael took the midah of chesed and in its corrupted form. The corrupted chesed is chesed without boundaries or limitations. Chesed is crossing the boundaries of oneself to extend to others. Corrupted chesed fails to acknowledge these boundaries in any circumstances, fails to acknowledge the existence of these boundaries. There we find also by Yishmael an Inyan, a concept, a theme of geneva, of theft. And I believe that idea, you see that the Torah says that Yishmael went and he was Yoshev of Parshas Drachim, and he was a Rova Kashas, that became a bandit sitting at the fork in the road to rob people as they went by. The Torah says Yado Bakol, that Yishmael was, his hand was against everyone, which was he was taking from everyone. That I believe that this is also really a product of the same thing. Oh, and also we find, just one more example, that when Hashem offered the Torah to Klal Yisrael, the Medrash says, the Sifri says, that he first went around to all of the nations and offered it to them, and each of them asked Hashem what was in the Torah, and then they consequently, because of Hashem's answer, declined Hashem's offer. And the Medrash relates the responses of Esav, of Ammon and Moab, and of Yishmael. And we won't get into the other ones, but by Yishmael, they said, Maksiv Bey, what's written in the Torah? And he said, Lo Sigzol, or Lo Signov, I don't remember which one it was. And they said, if that's the case, we can't accept the Torah. That because it said Lo Sigzol, they can't accept the Torah. So the idea of Geneva by Yishmael, I think, is also really an application of this same point, which is that Yishmael does not recognize the boundaries between people, and therefore he blurs and erases these boundaries. And therefore Yishmael is, his perspective of the world is what Pirkei Avos describes as Shali Shalcha V'Shalcha Shali. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours. I give indiscriminately and I take indiscriminately because I've blurred the boundaries between myself and others.
How do we understand that as being Avraham's child? I mean, Avraham converted all these other people to the true way of thinking about Hashem. How is it he couldn't get his own child to become better than that?
So as a probably a broader question than
but I just, it always bothers me when I hear these kinds of things.
But so that
there are a lot of descendants in the Torah that are that didn't end up following in the footsteps of their Moses. Kids.
But he didn't have any time to raise his kids. He was pulled away immediately from his family. But Abraham raised his family. He was there the whole time. He didn't have Yitzhak.
He didn't raise Ishmael.
Why didn't he?
He was sent away when he was a baby.
Well, he was at least 13 when he was sent away, because he was not sent away until after Yitzhak was born,
and
I think not until after Yitzhak was actually weaned.
So he would have been. Where he laughed, and the Sarah said, "Get rid of this kid."
Yeah, so
he was raised.
They said that she was she baby was crying, and she put it down.
He wasn't a baby though. He was like already 17. You know, there was
he was 15 years old.
Yeah,
right.
It's a really good question why they have. What does it mean to?
Right. The Midrashim or the Mefarshim there say she was carrying him because he got sick because Sarah put an ayin hara on him, but that she was carrying him because he was sick. But either way, it's a good question. You have the same question about Esav that Yitzchak and Esav. But, I mean, seemingly just on a very, very surface level, the answer would seemingly be just that, you know, that you find often that the children of Gedolim, that it's not unheard of that the children of Gedolim, who will go very far off, because at the end of the day, a child has his own free will and his own ability to make decisions. There's a large discussion about whether or not Yishmael and Esav inherently had. Certainly by Esav, they talk about their midrashim that say from the womb that Esav was trying to break out to go to the base of Odeh Zarah. So certainly by Esav, you have this implications that there was something about his nature. But I don't know whether or not we find such a thing by Yishmael. I couldn't tell you. But there's certainly some, you know, I don't want to call it destiny. Certainly Yishmael had Bechira and Esav had Bechira, whatever their Bechira was. Maybe it was a much more difficult Nisayon, and maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that into account, but however those factors work out. But at the end of the day, we do find this that Yishmael certainly did stray very far from where Avraham was. But Yishmael is Avraham's Midah of Chesed, not tempered by the context of Gvura, that Avraham Avinu focused on Chesed. But it was balanced by a midah of gvura, was in the context of understanding that there are limitations. Chesed has to be done within the proper context. Yishmael is unadulterated chesed. Hashem is gomel chasadim tovim. Says the Siach Yitzchak, what does it mean that the chasadim are tovim? Says the Siach Yitzchak, tachlisam tov. That they are chesed, which have a good destination, that the end, the finish, or the conclusion of these chasadim are good. That this is the midah of Avraham Avinu. It's chesed that is constructive. Avraham says that he would invite in guests and he would feed them, and then he would tell them, they would ask, who do we pay? And they say, you don't have to pay me, just thank Hashem. And they would say, we never heard of this Hashem, we're not thanking Hashem. And they say, oh, okay, in that case, let me get you the bill. And they say, oh, wait, never mind, maybe we have heard of this God. And they would thank him. Avram's chesed was a chesed which was directed towards a purpose of getting people to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't chesed which would lead people to be kofar in the chesed they were getting. It was a chesed which was designed to lift people up and to guide people. It was a chesed done with a purpose. So the first idea is that the chasadim tovim, that Hashem's chesed is a tachlisam tov. It's a chesed which is directed towards a purpose. The chasadim which are in a context in which the chesed is constructive, which is a chesed which elevates and helps to improve the recipient of the chesed, to benefit the recipient of the chesed. A second idea, what does it mean that tov? Rashi, the second day of, points out, on the second day of Bereishis, it does not say ki tov. Doesn't say that Hashem saw that it was tov, that it was good. On the third day, it says tov twice. So Rashi, in one of his explanations, says that the reason it doesn't say tov on the second day is because on day two, the mayim was started. It wasn't finished. Nothing was completed on day two, and therefore it doesn't say tov. On day three, the mayim was completed, day, the work of day two was completed, and therefore it says tov for the completion of day two, and then it says tov for the work of day three, which was its own complete act. And therefore, when something is complete is when it can be described as tov. Unklus, on the Pasuk says, lo tov heos ha'adam levado. Unklus translates lo tov as lo sakin, that it's not prepared, it's not finished, it's not fixed for man to be by himself. That without his wife, man is incomplete. He's not yet reached his tikkun, he's not yet reached his state of completion, and it can't, therefore, is not, that's what it means. He's lo tov heos adam levado, he's incomplete when man is by himself. The Torah describes when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the Torah says, Vayar imo ki tov hu. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it says. Chazal say, they read into what does it mean when it says that ki tov hu, that he was tov. So a couple of explanations, but one of the things Chazal say is that he was nolad mahol, that he was born circumcised. The idea of circumcision is the idea, the point of, the reason a person is born without a bris milah is to show that they are incomplete and they need to be completed. The idea, the whole discussion that Rabbi Akiva had with, I believe it was Tornus Rufus, but with one of the Roman leaders that he came over him, and he said to him, which is better, man's creations or God's creations? And Rabbi Akiva immediately responds, man's creations. And then the guy's like, surprised. He says, what do you mean? He says, well, what do you eat, wheat or bread? You eat wheat kernels or you eat bread? Meaning that you take the wheat and you make it and you process it. We take the natural ingredients that God gave us and we process it and we make it into bread. And now it's much better than what it started out as. So then the Roman general dropped the game and he said, why do you do bris milah? And Rabbi Akiva says, I knew from the start that's what you were really getting at, and that's why I told you what I told you. He said, the idea of bris milah is that it shows that man is born incomplete and he needs to be completed. Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Torah says that ki tovhu, that he was tov, that means that the Chazal read into that that it means he had a bris milah, because it means he was complete. Tov means that he was complete. He was complete. He was born finished. He was born with his completion. The word tov means shalim, means something is complete. The chesed of Hashem is gomel chasadim tovim. The chesed of Hashem is complete. It's whole. He assists us when we need support, and he lets us grow from our mistakes when that's what's best for us. The chesed of Hashem is total chesed. It's chesed which is lacking nothing. It's chesed which is entirely chesed and has no, there's nothing missing, there's nothing lacking in the chesed that Hashem does. The word gomel can also mean to wean. Like we say that the word gomel also means to wean. That Hashem's chesed, it weans us, it helps us to grow. That it takes us step by step to the next challenge and does not provide as a crutch, which prevents a person. My Rosh Hashiva, one of my Rosh Hashivas in Eretz Yisrael, used to always say this story that when he was in summer camp, He slipped and broke his leg, so he was on crutches, and being on crutches for a couple of weeks, he very quickly got pretty good at the crutches, and he was zooming around on the crutches, and then he was really continuing to use the crutch at the point when he no longer needed the crutch, at which point his leg is no longer healing the way that it needed to heal, and eventually he slips on the crutch and re-injures his leg, and now he needs the crutches again. Because when you have a crutch when you don't need it, the crutch is a handicap. When you need the crutch, it's something which helps you. You couldn't get past it without. But once you no longer need the crutch, having the crutch is a handicap. And so the chesed of Hashem, it's gomel. It's that which helps us grow, and when it weans us, it's that when Hashem gives us chesed, when that's constructive for us, and when what we need is to overcome the challenge on our own, then Hashem allows us to go through it on our own, and step by step Hashem takes us to the next challenge. Like Chazal say, that kol agadol mechaveru yitzro gadol hemenu, that anyone who's greater than his friend, his yitzro hara is also greater. Many of the farshim struggle to understand what exactly does that mean. I think the simple understanding is that the more you grow, the less Hashem is helping you. Because the more you're, in order for your bechira to stay on an even par, so the greater you've become on your own, the less Hashem is holding your hand, because you're no longer growing as soon as you're not putting in the effort. In order for it to still involve the same effort to overcome your challenges, your yetzer, the challenge has to grow according to your growth. And that's the chesed of Hashem, is that he allows us to grow on our own. When we accomplish things on our own, that Hashem brings us to the next challenge. And that's the gomel chasadim tovim, that Hashem's chesed is complete, and Hashem's chesed is a chesed that allows us to grow. A second way in which Hashem's chesed is complete, that it's given in a way that we do not feel ashamed. Normally, when someone receives a gift, they can't fully enjoy it because they know that they didn't earn it. They can't feel the satisfaction of seeing and appreciating their own accomplishment. If you can imagine, there are two people sitting in their office, and they both have hanging on the wall a diploma from Yale with their name on it, and one of them looks at the diploma and he remembers with pride all of the classes and all of the exams that he took and his thesis papers and his master's thesis and everything that he went through to get that degree. And he looks at it and he swells with pride at all the accomplishment that went into that degree. And the other one looks at the degree and he remembers the flea market that he went to and bought the degree for $395 and had his name printed on it. And which of them looks at that degree and feels proud? If you worked for something and you earned it and you invested yourself into it, you get a feeling of satisfaction through appreciating your own accomplishment. Additionally, a person feels shame when they think about that they just intrinsic the fact that they don't really deserve what they have. There's a halacha that says that if you lent a person money and you see him walking towards you down the street, you should cross the street so that he doesn't have to pass you, knowing that when he sees you, he's going to feel ashamed because he knows he owes you. If you feel that you owe someone, you can't really appreciate what you have, because always in the background is that feeling that I know I really owe this to someone else. I know that I'm really indebted to someone else for that. Hashem gives us the opportunity to earn his chesed. Hashem gives us Torah and mitzvos, which he doesn't really need, but he gives us the opportunity to earn it on our own, that Hashem's chesed is chesed without any lacking, that the chesed is something which doesn't have that feeling of embarrassment and shame of knowing that I don't really deserve this. Hashem gives us the ability to earn it. The term, the phrase gomel chesed, is really a funny phrase. The word gomel means to compensate. You usually have the term gomel schar, like the Rambam says that Hashem is gomel schar la, from the exact wording. But that the term gomel refers to compensation. You're giving something that has the implication of something which is deserved. Chesed means a kindness, which implies it's a gift, which implies that it's a bonus, that it's something that's not deserved. So what does it mean that Hashem is gomel chasadim? So the idea is that in truth, we don't really deserve the schar that we receive. A person, if you think about it, and we'll at some point get back to this, a person can never hope to be ahead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their account. That even the Torah and mitzvos that we do are only through the existence and the ability and the energy that Hashem is granting us at that very moment when we do those mitzvos. We're only able to perform those mitzvos because Hashem is at that moment giving us chiyos, giving us life and life force to be able to perform those mitzvos. So no one can ever hope to actually be at the point to that Hashem owes them. You can't, if you were absolutely 100% perfect, we might be able to say that you broke even, and even then probably not. But the person can never hope to actually get ahead and where Hashem actually is indebted to them. But Hashem gives us the opportunity to be a participant. He gives us the opportunity to quote unquote earn our reward. But at the end of the day, it remains a chesed, something which we cannot hope to deserve in authentic din. Hashem is gomel. He does it as a compensation. He gives us the opportunity to earn it. But at the end of the day, it's a chesed. At the end of the day, the fact that we get schar, we're avadim. We owe everything to Hashem. The fact that we get schar, at the end of the day, that is still a chesed. One more idea in what it means for chesed to be tov. The Ramban, in the first paragraph of Bereishis, so the very first time that the Torah says Vayar Elokim ki tov, so the Ramban says, what does it mean that Hashem saw that it was tov? The Ramban says Ra'oi lehiskayim. He saw that it was appropriate to last that way, and that's why when it does not say Vayar Elokim ki tov by the or of Sheshet Yemei Bereishis, because it was not Ra'oi to last that way, that Hashem hid away the light and either replaced it or supplanted it with the light of the sun, but the channeled it through. However you understand the shift in that light, but that light was not meant to stay the way it was. It was not meant to be miskayim that way. Therefore, it doesn't say that in the conclusion of the R It says vayhi chein. It doesn't see. I'm mixing things up right now. You know, I mix up two different things, but let's stick to the basic point. The Ramban says, the Ramban does say that Vayar El Kim Ki Tov, that Hashem saw that it was Tov, that it was Ra'i L'Hiskayim, that it was continuing, it was self-sustaining, it was something which was appropriate to remain that way and to last. The chesed of Hashem is lasting. It's chesed that's real and that continues. It's not just a momentary pleasure. When you eat a hamburger, it might be very enjoyable at the moment. If you give someone a hamburger, that might be a nice chesed until the point where it's gone through their digestion system, and then that chesed is kind of, at the end of the day, the actual pleasure, the actual benefit that they got from that chesed is gone. But the schar that Hashem gives us for our mitzvos, the chesed that Hashem does for us, that chesed is eternal, it's permanent. Olam haba is nitzchi. It's something which is that chesed that Hashem does. Hashem is gomel chasadim tovim. Hashem does chasadim which are permanent, which are lasting. And I think this Ramban also fits back into the idea that we mentioned previously, that the chesed of Hashem is constructive, that the chesed of Hashem is ra'i l'hiskayim, ki la'olam chasdo, that Hashem's chesed is eternal. All of the chasadim that Hashem does contribute and lead towards a fulfillment. They're part of a purpose. And each step of chesed that Hashem has done is a step in an eternal process, in a process that leads towards eternity. It's not just arbitrary acts of kindness and beneficence, but they're constructive parts of completing a purpose. At the risk of going over, never mind if we go a few more minutes, we might go past 10 o'clock. Okay, that's Gomel Chasadim Tovim, that Hashem does Chesed, which is Tov, which means that the Chesed is Shalem, the Chesed is positive, it is something which is productive, and it is in the best interest of the recipient, and that it's Ra'i L'Hiskayim, it's Chesed, which is eternal, which lasts. The next thing we say is Koneh HaKol. So we'll talk we'll talk when we next meet about what the idea of Koneh, what the idea of Kinyan means in general and specifically here. But just as a starting point in this discussion, Koneh HaKol, that Hashem is Koneh everything. So the phrase Gomel Chasadim Tovim, the Rishonim point this idea out, the Graz is that Gomel Chasadim Tovim, so responds to Chesed, Avram Avinu, the Midah of Chesed. Very easy to see. Gomel Chasadim Tovim. That's the Midah of Chesed. Koneh HaKol, say the Mefarshim, corresponds to Gvura. First one's Chesed, the next one's Gvura, and we'll talk about the next one being the third Midah, the Midah of the MS. So it's clear how Gomel Chasadim Tovim fits the idea of Chesed. But what does Koneh HaKol, that he acquires or creates everything, however we'll translate it, what does that have to do with Gevura, with the idea of Gevura? So Rashi and Bereishis, when Shem was then being presented as Malki Tzedek, says to Avram Avinu, he says that Hashem is Koneh Shemaim Va'aretz. So Rashi there says that the word koneh means that he creates. And koneh hakol means Hashem creates everything. In creating a physical world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the context for his antithesis, the possibility of not doing Ritzono. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, say, Ein Od Milvado. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. There is nothing that exists if not as a manifestation of Ratzon Hashem. Hashem creating the world, creating an existence which is, in its perception, something other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creates a context in which there is the possibility of not doing Ritzono. Even the idea and the awareness of such a concept of something other than Hashem's will, the idea that there could be something other than Hashem's Ratzon, that is in itself is a manifestation of Ra, of evil. The Ramchal in Das Tfunos in a couple of places speaks this out, that the mere realization that there is the possibility of not doing Hashem's Ratzon, that itself is an element of evil, of the manifestation of Ra in the world. Because the ultimate truth is that Hashem's oneness is all pervasive, and that Ein Od Milvado, there is nothing else other than Hashem, and everything is only because Ratzon Hashem is that it should be that way. The perception that it's possible to not do Hashem's Ratzon, that itself is the beginning, is the root of the existence of Ra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the most fundamental act of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as part of creation, tolerates the existence of opposition to him, of the opposite of what the MS of his existence really is. The possibility of a violation of his Ratzon is only enabled because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world in which that idea is a possibility. This is Gevura. This is the ultimate act of self-restraint, of being Kovesh Es Yitzro, of, so to speak, conquering his own Yetzer, his own will, or his own desire to create the context in which there could be a Ratzon other than his own. That's the ultimate act of Gevura, of restraining his own will for the sake of the Ratzon of something else. We say this line of Shemona Esrei, we say many of the lines of Shemona, but just point out specifically, we say this line in Lashon Hoven, present tense. We don't say that Hashem was Kana HaKol, that he created everything, but we say that he is Kone HaKol, that he, it's in present tense, that he creates everything. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sustaining the world at every moment. And even while the Rasha, even while the wicked person is doing his rishas, is doing his evil actions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at that very moment actively sustaining his existence and supplying him with the chiyas, with the ability and with the wherewithal to do those evil actions which go against Hashem's Ratzon. Hashem is the one who is enabling him to go against Hashem's Ratzon. He wouldn't be able to do it if Hashem wasn't actively creating that person in that moment to be able to carry out and to go through with that act. And that's the Kone HaKol, that Hashem is actively creating him, is actively sustaining the person's existence and allowing the Ratzon, which goes against his Ratzon, to be carried out. And that's the facilitating, in order to facilitate that we have a meaningful existence in which we can make real choices, Hashem enables and facilitates the violation of his own Ratzon. The ultimate act of Gvura, he is the facilitator of allowing an other, the autonomous creations that he gave autonomy to violate his Ratzon. In Tomer Devora, the Ramak describes, he explains the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachamim and on Nosei Avon, that which, you know, we translate it to mean he tolerates Avon. But the word literally means that he carries Avon, he carries iniquity. What does it mean that Hashem carries iniquity? So says the Ramak that when someone does evil, it creates a malach of destruction. When someone does a destructive act, it creates a destructive spiritual force. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu could send that malach back to the person and tell him, take care of your mess. You take care of what you created. You created a malach of chavala, so it's yours. Here it is. You deal with it. And the negative energy would destroy that person. But instead, Hashem carries the burden. Hashem is no se avon. Hashem carries the burden of that negative energy which has been created so that the person can carry on, so that the person can continue to exist. Hashem enables a person to create a negativity which they should be responsible for, and Hashem takes on the responsibility for it in order to give the person the ability to keep on going. Malachim cease to exist as soon as they do something which does not exactly follow Hashem's will. We'll maybe talk about that idea more at some point, but the nature of the existence of a malach is as soon as a malach, well, let's talk about how a malach is able to do something which is not in concordance with Ratzon Hashem, but the moment that a malach violates Ratzon Hashem, they cease to exist, because a malach only exists as long as it is an expression of Ritzono, of Hashem's divine will. As soon as they deviate, they lose the source of their existence. But humans, Adam, is given the ability to not follow Hashem's will. We were given the option to step out of line with Hashem's Ratzon, and He still sustains our existence. So Hashem being is Kone HaKol, first of all, in the basic concept of creation, the fact that there is a creation, that there is a context in which there is a possibility of not doing Hashem's Ratzon, and then that Hashem is Kone HaKol, that in an ongoing basis, He is sustaining creation, He is giving the Chiyus and the Kiyum to existence at every moment. That's an incredible act of Gvura, of restraint on Hashem's part, that He is, so to speak, holding back His Ratzon in order to enable our Ratzon to have a place to be involved in the world. And so the Kone HaKol is that is this ultimate expression of Hashem's Gevura in being in restraining Himself in order to give opportunity and context for our Bechira.